And to close the contributions, Sandro Mezzara.
Yes, I would like to start with the kind of very general, even banal remark on the title of this third panel on migration, Unruly Thinking. And I would say that thinking must be unruly these days if it is to critically grasp an unruly world, a world whose unruliness is becoming more and more threatening. Coming to migration, I think that this phrase, unruly thinking, has very specific meaning insofar as it invites us, in a way, to replicate in our own thinking and investigation kind of gesture that is constitutive of migration, which is the gesture of transgressing, trespassing borders. Just think of the boundaries between disciplines that organize the production and circulation of knowledge in the academy, but also beyond the academy. Following migrants implies challenging this disciplinary articulation and bounding of the production of knowledge. Moreover, migration has to be understood following the lead of a great Algerian migration scholar, Abdelmalek Sayad, as a total social fact. And taking migration as a total social fact means analyzing the challenges that it poses to, let's say, the systemic articulation of society. The articulation of society into systems like law, economy, culture, politics, and subsystems. Needless to say, to take such an approach to migration as the one that I have very, very schematically and quickly sketched also implies a kind of critical attitude toward the confinement of the study of migration within the boundaries of, let's say, migration studies. And this is an important aspect of an unruly thinking about migration, in my opinion. It means that we also have to take migration as a lens, as a mirror, to quote again from Sayad, that allows us to study, understand specific social processes that go beyond migration. Let's say the transformation, the more general transformation of citizenship, the more general transformation of the organization of labor within a given society. I mean, migration is a very powerful angle on such processes, precisely because it is unruly, precisely because it is crisscrossed and constituted by struggles that can be explicitly political or can remain in a way invisible underground, but nonetheless deploy very material effects. Couple of remarks on the notion of unruliness referred to migration itself. I was saying before, in a kind of very general way, that migration is constituted by unruliness. But I think there is a need to go beyond this general statement and, let's say, to historicize the unruliness of migration. Migration today is unruly in ways that are different from the ones characterizing migration a century ago. And a century ago, migration was unruly. Let me refer to a book by Nikos Papastergiadis that came out in 2000, bearing the title The Turbulence of Migration. I think it is kind of thought-provoking, inspiring to follow his lead and to take the notion of turbulence in order to understand the specific characters of the unruliness of contemporary migration. Allow me to be once again schematic and quick for want of time. The geography of migration has kind of exploded over the last couple of decades. What migration scholars were inclined to study as migration systems that provided a kind of framework for the understanding of the geography of migration have multiplied and again exploded. So nowadays we are confronted with an overlapping of migration routes that makes the mapping of migration such challenging exercise as Avery Gordon was showing to us yesterday, discussing the work of the artist Bushra Khalili. At the same time, we are confronted nowadays with a diversification, a heterogenization of migration patterns and migration statuses that have profound implications for the subjective experience of migration. Circular migration, temporary migration, different kind of legal statuses, also for refugees. So the unitary figure of the migrant, the unitary figure of the refugee, have been kind of multiplied and diversified. Let me just mention a third aspect of the unruliness of contemporary migration. And this aspect is the dramatic feminization of migration that has changed the composition of movements of migration and has implied, it implies profound transformations in patriarchy and in gender relations among people on the move. So each of these moments is kind of crisscrossed by processes of subjectivation, of collective agency, of affirmation, and at the same time by the action of powerful devices of domination and exploitation. And it is precisely in the encounter and clash between these two sides of, let's say, to put it in an intellectually sexy language, the production of subjectivity, that the political dimension of migration crystallizes and emerges. So turbulence of migration, this turbulence of migration that has dramatically increased over the last decades meets processes of flexibilization of economy, of labor markets, of citizenship itself. If we look at this situation from the angle of the mobility of labor that I was kind of proposing yesterday as one of the angles on migration, it is clear that we are confronted with problems, let's say, with elusiveness, both on the supply side and on the demand side. How are these problems managed? How have these problems been managed over the last years and decades? It is clear to policymakers, to people involved in the activities of think tanks that work on migration, that such rigid systems as the guest worker system, as the quota system for the recruitment of migrant labor, do not work anymore, because they are confronted with these problems on both sides, let's say, of the labor market. If we look at the practical and theoretical developments of so-called migration management, we can see over the last years the emergence of a specific instance of something that I was mentioning yesterday, discussing the train La Bestia. I was talking about the increasing relevance of logistics for migration. Again, very, very quickly, and then we can discuss about that, there is a fantasy that is haunting migration management in many parts of the world. And this fantasy is a just-in-time and to-the-point migration. Just-in-time and to-the-point. This is a logistical fantasy. I guess many of you are familiar with the working of a platform like Foodora. You want a pizza, let's say, in your house, to the point, right now, just in time. So the just in time and to the point migration is a kind of delivery model that has a profound influence on the fantasies of policymakers, and these fantasies translate into a reality that is usually very different from the ones that policymakers have in mind. I think that It is important to take such a logistical fantasy into account, also looking at the question that we were discussing yesterday, which means the contradictory and multiple constitution of border regimes. It is quite clear to me that the hotspot approach of the European Community is shaped by such logistical fantasies. But this is one aspect of the border regime. Then you have the humanitarian aspect, you have the security aspect, and you have, this is the point that we were discussing yesterday, the national element. I repeat because I'm running out of time, the question with which I closed my input yesterday. How can we make sense of the increasing relevance over the last year of the national moment within border regimes in Europe and beyond Europe? How can we make sense of this? And how can we struggle against this? I think that from this point of view, from the point of view of struggles, it is very important to continue to problematize, to criticize, and eventually to smash the dichotomy, the binary between us and them. That is the constitutive binary of the nation state. And I would like to close by picking up again what Avery Gordon was saying at the end of a talk yesterday when she was speaking of W.E.B. Du Bois and of his interpretation of the Civil War in the 19th century in the US and its relation with the so-called Reconstruction Age. She was talking about a general strike of the slaves that opened up the space for something that went beyond the protagonism, the agency of slaves themselves, which means abolition democracy. It's a bit quick at the end, but I think this is a model that is particularly productive in order to reflect upon the political problems we are confronted with today. Thank you.